What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to your home for everything local sports. This week on the pod, we're talking about the state of high school football, other local fall sports, the latest news from Long Beach State, and whether or not you're superstitious in another installment of Either Or. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and my co-host across the table, Mike Artabasio.
We are the co-founders and co-editors of the 562.org, a nonprofit sports website here in the city of Long Beach. This podcast, part of our new partnership with the Long Beach Post, which we're very excited about. We're doing a couple of different podcasts for them, as well as a big weekly story. If you hear people chattering in the background, that's because we are coming to you live and direct from the Post's office. Not the post office, from the Post's office in sunny, beautiful downtown Long Beach.
Live via tape delay, Mike. Shout out to all you Sports Nights fans. Another shout out we should make sure we do is to our subscribers, because the 562.org and LB Post are both community funded sites. Much like a PBS or an NPR, the community supports the community coverage, and that's what we bring to you each and every day. And we'd love to announce that the month of September is going to be our 562.org membership drive month. So why not shout out a few OGs who have been with us since the beginning, way back in February.
The Vulgaris family, Stacy Seguine, Crystal Irving, state championship track coach at Long Beach Poly, one of the very first subscribers to the website. We literally cannot do this without the support of the city of Long Beach. That's why we launched the website. That's how we're going to keep it going without having to worry about any other interests or companies. So we need you to go to the 562.org and click subscribe now. Because it is going to be our special membership drive in September, we're not just asking you to sign up at $5 or $10 a month. We are telling you, if you are already a subscriber, or if you sign up in the month of September only, you will get an exclusive sticker of the 562.org. You can let people know you're a subscriber.
Our first merch.
Our first merch. We're very excited about it. JJ whipped up an awesome logo.
And it's all ready to go for your car. It's the all-weather. Shout out to Long Beach Graphics.
Your computer. I'm for sure going to slap it on the back of my laptop over the Apple logo. I can't wait to do that. But it's not just going to be the sticker. If you sign up in September, or you're one of our subscribers already, you will be eligible to be randomly selected for one lucky winner. Will get a sideline experience at a high school football game or other event of their choice. We will also be doing special promotions, including getting shout outs in the football videos for the school of your choice, being shouted out on the podcast, as well as if you sign up, you'll be added to our exclusive breaking news email subscriber list, which we'll actually, if there's a big sports story in Long Beach, you'll actually hear about it before we break the news on Twitter or Facebook. You obviously know that Mike and JJ are going to be the ones to break that news first, so you'll be hearing about it before anybody else. All that and more, we'll have even more details on next week's show. But if you're listening to this right now, what you need to do, if you want there to be coverage for Long Beach kids that is special and dedicated to them, is go to the562.org, click the subscribe button. That's going to take you to our Patreon. Sign up at anywhere from $5 to $10 a month. If you want to give more than that, we're obviously very happy, and we will come up with some special stuff for you.
We actually have another list of people, the 562-100, that you can see right now at the 562.org. That is a group of people who stood up at the beginning of this year and said, we are with you. We want to support this local sports movement to make sure that it continues. And we've got them listed now on the website. You too can be a part of that. We're doing it as families. Do you want to put your family on that list? We can do that as well. So again, at the website is all the information you need on about us, how to support, how to get involved in the 562-100, but most importantly, how to be a subscriber of the 562.org.
What up, Long Beach, and everything else at the 562.org is brought to you by Naples Rib Company, the best rib joint, best barbecue joint, period, for my money, in Southern California. Dave Ursini and the rest of the folks at Naples Rib Company have been supporters of ours for years, 8 years, almost since the very beginning when we first started doing this coverage. Dave has spent this week going from high school to high school, feeding the Morley coaches at their coaches' meetings as they get ready for the school year. He's excited about the upcoming sports year. We're excited about the upcoming sports year. Please, go visit Naples Rib Company. Tell them you're there because you support high school sports. Tell them Mike and JJ sent you.
Like Mike mentioned, each and every week we provide a story for LB Post, kind of an enterprise story, looking at something in a long lens. We've talked about local youth sports. We put together a great retrospective, a Where Are They Now, for the 2008 Long Beach Pony World Championship team. This week, we're talking football. not just NFL football, not just high school football, but really the state of the football union, because I think we can all agree that football is at a crossroads right now, and we're kind of trying to decide if it can adjust, become maybe more safe, or is this the death rattle? Is this the end of football as we know it?
I think a question that we've heard a lot and that's been written about a lot is football dying? You know, and so like, are we, so that was our idea, was basically let's give it a physical, you know, let's see what's going on. Because I think one of two things is true. Either football is the most popular sport in the history of America, which it is, and it's going through some growing pains as it tries to adjust to these new, very legitimate safety concerns, as well as new technology. I think it's safe to say that the NBA and Major League Baseball got a much bigger jump than the NFL in terms of streaming and the sort of modern ways that people are going to watch sports. Or is it not growing pains, but as JJ mentioned, a death rattle? Is this the beginning of the end? Are the numbers going to keep going down in terms of participation to where this is not a game that is played by, you're not going to hear about in country songs anymore because not enough people play it?
So first and foremost, I think we need to lay out that football, like Mike said, is the most popular sport in America, and the numbers reflect that. Last year, 71 of the 100 most watched television programs in America were football games.
And just to put that in perspective, 10 years prior, that might surprise you because you might be hearing, oh, less people are watching football. That's true.
Because less people are watching cable television.
Less people are watching TV, period. Less people are watching sports on television now that, because for a while, sports was like the last bubble of the cord cutting movement because it was still the only way to see sports live. Now that that's not the case anymore, sports viewership is going down as a whole. Now, people with a political bent might say, oh, well, that's because of the anthem protest. That's because of their response to the anthem protest.
There's a lot of factors.
There's a million factors, and everyone wants
ins,
to pick their...
A lot of outs. A lot of what have yous.
And everyone's going to pick their pet issue to say, this is why bad things are happening to something I want bad things to happen to. The fact of the matter is, in 2007, 22 of the 100 most watched programs were football. And now, as JJ mentioned, over 70.
Speaking of stats, we got to bring in old Statabasio to break this thing down on participation numbers, because I think that was the number that everyone looked at and got all big googly emoji eyes and said, oh my gosh, is football dead? Because there are so many fewer players playing football. Now, before we do get into the numbers, you and I disagreed fundamentally on the number when we first saw it, because my point was, well, there are more football players than any other sport to begin with. So let's say every single sport available dropped the same percentage.
Right.
Football's going to have a bigger number every single time. But the percentage is also bad. So Statabasio, take it away.
Well, I'm not going to read a whole lot of the round numbers because I think that would probably be confusing on the podcast. What I'll talk about is sort of the overall trends. And what JJ just said is exactly right. We see two things when you look at the numbers. And the participation numbers we've looked at are from the Long Beach Unified School District, are from the CIF State Office, which has a participation census for the numbers of people playing each sport in California at the high school level, and then the NFHS, which is the governing body for sort of nationally high school sports. Not really, it's a sanctioning body, not a governing body, but they also have a participation census that's national and then broken down by state. Here are the two incontrovertible facts from those things. Football is far and away the most popular sport for boys to play. Incontrovertible fact. No one's within 40% of football nationally, at the state level, or locally. 18 out of every 100 boys playing sports in the Long Beach Unified School District are playing football. That's a very big number when you consider that there are more than two dozen sports.
Oh, it's huge.
The other incontrovertible fact is less people are playing football every year. And 2 years ago, when that trend was a couple years deep, I think if you were a defender of football, it would have been easier to cling to, well, there's still so many more people playing football than everything else. Now, especially if you look at California, you're talking about a net loss of 15,000 kids, which is more than 10% of the total participation numbers over just the last 5 years. It's been a drop of about 3,000 kids a year in California. Is that going to be the case for another 10 years? In which case, you're going to lose probably a pretty good number of high school football programs.
Yeah.
Or is this a bottoming out as people find ways to change the way the game is played, the way that its equipment is used to make it safer? And is this going to be a new level? Because if it levels out here, it's still several tens of thousands of people more popular than any other sport.
Right.
But if it keeps going down because it does require such big numbers to play, that's when we're going to see even more widespread shuttering of maybe even historic programs.
It could take a generation to actually find the answer to all of these questions. Because
it will. And that's why the conversation is football dying is sort of silly because, well, I don't know, talk to me in 20 years, like you said.
If you play football, you're more likely to watch football. So if less people are playing football now than in the future, less people will watch football. It's a very one-to-one. But I think we can all agree that the health and safety of America's youth is probably the number one factor, even though there's a lot of factors, the number one factor of these numbers dropping in participation. The best available science right now says that the football helmet does not protect players from future brain injury because or problems or situations.
The helmet is actually specifically the problem because since they're wearing the helmet.
CTE is the number one reason why football is in the situation it is right now, I would say, in my opinion.
Yes.
Okay, so with that in mind, the adults are making changes.
Right.
Okay. These high school football players who are playing now, adjusting to rules like only having 45 minutes to hit each week in high school.
Which used to be less than you would hit in one practice.
Exactly.
On one day.
Exactly. Yeah. Those aren't high school football player changes. Those are the adults telling the high school football players what the new rules are. Right. So I think that's important to say that maybe kids aren't playing as much football, but like the kids who are playing football aren't changing football. Football is changing around them. Does that make sense?
I completely agree. And here's what I would say. I think there's two things I would discuss. Number one, my just best guess, and you and I have had this conversation a number of times over the last several years. If I had to guess, I think football is at a fork in the roads. One of two things is going to happen. Either it's going to be, you know what, let's make it more violent. Let's just stop worrying about this stuff and have it be a true gladiator sport, in which case you're going to see the shuttering of a ton of Pop Warner programs.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see it played in a lot of suburban communities. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of the kids in Long Beach, a lot of the families in Long Beach would almost prefer, like, let me go around and hit people as hard as I can. The problem is that fundamentally changes the fabric of what the game is, to where if what you're saying is only parents who are willing to accept a high level of risk for their children starting at a very young age are going to let their kids play football. So that's one option. The other option to me would be something more radical, which is what you and I have talked about, something like removing helmets from the game.
Okay, that's a good point.
And making it more like a rugby
or
another
game.
Because here's the thing, and you and I talk about this all the time. If you and I were to bump heads right now, it would do less to our brain than if we were to hit heads wearing a football helmet. So
right.
Like that's the issue. The helmets actually specifically don't make you safer because you're more comfortable hitting someone at a high speed with your helmet.
There is a difference between CTE and concussions. And I think that's very important for people to know. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think the majority of people know how different CTE and concussions are. Because you can see concussions.
You
the problem with CTE is you can't see it until it's probably too late.
Look, and you can't see a lot of concussive events. I just went through a whole AYSO training program about this. Like, sometimes there's side effects. Sometimes it's not someone getting knocked out. But
Mike's not playing AYSO soccer, everybody. It's because he's coaching his
right.
kid.
Right, yeah. But I'm in a U36 league. but to your point, that's exactly right. So what the NFL is trying to do is stop people being knocked out on the field,
right.
Which I think is called a major concussive event because that is visible to everyone. Now, what scientists are saying is, no, we're finding evidence of CTE in people who only played high school football for 1 year.
Right. So,
because the issue is your brain knocking against your skull, which does not just happen on a big hit. It happens in Oklahoma's. It happens every time the offensive and defensive line play.
That's why they're cutting it down to 45 minutes of contact per
right.
week. It's not because of the concussions.
Right.
It's because of the repetitive banging
right.
of heads. So,
and
modest,
that is a good policy-driven decision, in my opinion, if you're looking at the science.
Modest proposal. Take the helmets away. Go back to the leather heads. Look at softball, for example. Softball pitchers are wearing these cages over their over their faces, like masks, because obviously that ball comes back at you and it hits you in the face, which we have seen.
Yeah.
It's horrific. So what's wrong with creating a, you know those helmets that the kids wear in the 7-on-7s during the summer? What's wrong with creating a plastic cover on the front of that and making the shoulder pads a little bit softer and literally change nothing else about football? People are stop running their heads together.
Right.
You're going to have to tackle better because you're going to basically protect yourself.
Right. You're not
going to
break your own nose on purpose.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So it will change the game, but it will not change the game so much so that people are like, oh, remember the days of the big hits? You're still going to get big hits.
Right.
Ask rugby players.
I don't think there's any. Yeah, I mean, watch rugby for, watch rugby for 10 minutes and you'll see, right? There's ways to have a very physical game without that equipment. I think there's no question in my mind that the reason these changes haven't been addressed in a more radical way based on the science available is because everyone loves football.
No, it's the money. It's the NFL money. Well, but it's
two things, because people aren't making that much money off high school football.
No right? doubt, it's, but
it's,
the
it's,
NFL...
It's a double-sided thing. It's the money side is going to keep the NFL from responding in a big way, which would lead everybody else. But the other thing is, if tomorrow a study came out and it said that ketchup did 50% of the harm to people's bodies, to domestic violence rates, to DUI statistics, etc., as alcohol does, ketchup would just be banned tomorrow. I mean, like, there's no question about it. It's that our society and people in America love alcohol. They love drinking. And so you say, okay, well, I love football so much, I love drinking so much, we're willing to have a certain amount of loss associated with this thing because so many people like it.
Big Ketchup would fight that to the death.
Well, and then that's to your point about the money. Because people do love football, because people love alcohol, there are huge money lobbies behind
those
things.
If the NFL was more responsible with the health of its players, and really, let's be frank, its future players, the future of its own game,
and
if it were more responsible, this wouldn't be as big of an issue. I don't think, because the NFL clearly, the NFL is the Icarus of American sport. It got really popular in about 2003, flew way too close to the sun when it created its own 24-hour network, and then, after it already owned the most holy day of the week, tried to then also own Thursday and Saturday, and all the while they were like, we're too big to fail. Right. There's no way this CTE thing is going to take us down. And not only did it take, or not only is it taking the NFL down, but I think it's also dragging down the other levels of sport.
Well, there's, I mean, it's, but it's two sides of it, because it's, you could see it as dragging it down, or you could see, like, someone, similar to my ketchup analogy, someone said to me, like, what if this was playing the violin? Like, what if someone told you, oh, playing the violin for 1 year in high school means that your son's got a 40, you know, whatever percent more likely chance of long-lasting brain trauma in their life. Well, my kid would not come anywhere near a violin, right? Mm. So to some extent, there's dragging it down. To some extent, I know a lot of parents, even like people who played football professionally, who go, yeah, I would never let my kid do something that science is showing me does this. Here's what I think, what we talked about where the trends could lead themselves, sort of barring any other major events, right? The really big major event is we don't have a ton of data on CTE, because it is not, if you break your arm right now, we can go get an x-ray and you can see the arm is broken. We cannot see signs of CTE in anyone until after they've died.
Right, that's why it's so dangerous.
Well, it's why it's dangerous, but it's also why it's difficult. And that's why, like, in the article, you'll see we say, like, suggests that and shows that most likely, because the fact of the matter is they can't go to a high school football team and do a CTE test and say, what do all your brains look like? You have to wait until people have passed away to do an autopsy on their brain to see if the sign of CTE is something they call beta tau protein, which is something that happens to your brain when it's bruised, basically.
I think it's also important to say that football is not the only sport where this is prevalent.
Correct, yes.
Right? It's like soccer having an issue with CTE, because these kids are banging their heads together.
And I think football coaches are, like, rightly upset that they feel that their sport's being targeted. But what I would say is this. Someone is working right now with some success on a test for CTE and beta tau protein in the brains of people who are alive and healthy. And that, to me, if that test is successful and it shows what scientists suspect, because they did find CTE in someone who'd only played high school football for 1 year, if you have a test that, say there's 100 kids on a football team and all 100 of their parents can take them and get a test, and it comes back that 89, 90, 100 of them have got brain damage, that will be, in my opinion, the apocalyptic event for football. That it doesn't matter what the NFL says, because if no one's going to let their kid play the sport, you're not going to have players for the NFL.
But what else are you not going to let your kid do? I always think of Jerry Seinfeld. We were doing activities where we were cracking our heads.
Right.
And so instead of stopping those activities, we decided to put these silly plastic things on our head. At what point is the helmet wearing you for protection? Are you going to let your kid not ride a dune buggy because he might roll over and get, you know, get some brain trauma? You're not going to let your kid play any other sport because it's possible that they could knock their head together and be concussed or possibly build that protein you're talking about? Like, at what point do you stop the line? My point about the NFL is when was the last time you saw a story come from or come out of the NFL that helped the lower levels of football?
Right.
It's been forever. It's all been negative. So it is I believe it is a trickle-down effect. If the NFL comes out and makes a concerted effort to improve the safety, and not just the visual safety, but the actual physical safety of their players, there will be less earthquake, you know, you right. know what I mean, it'll aftershock be a, right. for the college and high school football players.
I disagree with you in that I think it's a trickle up effect, because I think the ultimate danger is going to be in these participation numbers. And if a test comes out that says, hey, 5% of the soccer team has got this issue, because soccer players do not, as a feature of practice, bang their heads against each other. It's something that occasionally happens over the course of the game, as opposed to, hey, my son plays on the defensive line, he's supposed to put his face mask between two face masks every time.
Right.
If that comes out, I'll tell you right now, my wife and I have sort of a tenuous truce, right? Like, maybe our kid can play football in certain respects. If a test comes out and says, hey, 90% of people playing high school football have brain damage, you will not see 100,000 people in California playing high school football like next year.
But if the NFL can figure out a way to create a helmet that will either stop or limit CTE and head damage, and they can prove that scientifically, wouldn't it do the same thing the opposite way?
Maybe.
I'd love
to
see it.
That's what we're going to find out. But one way or the other, obviously changes are coming and have been coming and are still coming in many different ways. And I understand football coaches getting defensive. I think it's really valuable to look at this stuff, because there's much bigger questions here than who's going to win or lose on a given Friday night.
Dude, I was raised a Catholic Penn State football fan, so I have a lot of experience seeing something that was very important to me.
Yeah.
Something very important to me in my life catastrophically fail. Okay? And I'm seeing it with football right now. The next year, the next 2 years of what the NFL does about this is going to make or break the NFL. I firmly believe that. And making or breaking the NFL in the long run will also make or break youth football. So make sure you read the story that we have right now at LB Post. We also have in that story included a very cool interview with CIF Southern Section Commissioner Rob Wygod about their change to 45 minutes of contact per week, whether it's working, what people have said about it, and if there are more football changes coming from governing bodies at the lower levels.
If you're enjoying the sound of our voices, but you're tired of listening to us talk about sports, please go check out the Long Beach 30. You can search for it anywhere you get your podcast. That is our show that we're doing with the Long Beach Post about news and politics in Long Beach. This week, we've got a number of things we're talking about, including community hospital reopening and a new building boom in downtown Long Beach. So again, if you're interested in hearing us talk about something a little bit different than high school football and volleyball, go check out the Long Beach 30, brought to you by the Long Beach Post and the 562.org.
The athletic school year is officially upon us, because everybody is back at school. Welcome back to the classroom, Long Beach. Obviously, we had our football previews earlier this month as football started earlier than ever. But right now at the 562.org, you can see volleyball previews for each and every Long Beach school as the volleyball season gets going. This week, Moore League just got started. We've got the rivalry day on Thursday as Polly and Wilson go head-to-head and Milliken and Lakewood battle in the Battle of the Blueprint. But they're not the only sports. You're also going to be able to find at the 562.org next week previews for boys water polo, girls tennis, girls golf, and cross country. All of those sports getting going in September. But before we dip out of this high school section, we have to touch on football. 7 of the 8 local high school football teams are playing games within driving distance on Friday night. Once again, the Long Beach Poly Jackrabbits have the marquee matchup. They are 2-0, and they're going up the 605 freeway on Friday for another non-league clash with Los Alamitos. Now, Poly won this matchup each of the last 2 years. The first meeting was pretty close, but it's kind of a renewed local rivalry from the 2004 CIF Southern Section Division I Championship game that the Jackrabbits won 21-6 at Angel Stadium. The Griffins won their title back in 2002. So these two programs kind of banged heads in the early aughts and then went their own separate ways. And it's really cool that these two new coaches are bringing this rivalry back together. That's going to be at Cerritos College on Friday, and Mike's going to be there.
Yeah, I hate that the game's at Cerritos College, first of all.
Well, obviously we want every game to be at Vets.
Well, but it's the Battle of the Vet, two teams that have the same home field, and they're playing it at a different stadium, so that's obviously a bummer. But you mentioned it. I mean, it wasn't just the 2004 CIF championship team, championship game that sort of kickstarted that rivalry. Just for years and years and years, in the Long Beach area, they were also just the two best football teams, the only two Division I teams that were winning CIF championships, two public school powerhouses that couldn't have been more different in terms of the way their teams were put together and who made those teams up. But and you know, that rivalry is not necessarily there anymore in terms of the major differences between the schools, but it is kind of fun when you go up in the stands, and you definitely get a little bit of that like old school 90s, 2000s flavor.
also at home, Milliken, also 2-0. They're going to be hosting Aquinas, a good Aquinas team. Went to the championship 2 years ago, won the championship last year. Really interesting note, both of these teams, Milliken and Aquinas, lost to Grace Brethren in the playoffs last year. Grace Brethren went on to win state. So in a early season matchup between two schools that aren't close to each other, these guys are going to have a lot of film on each other. And neither of their offenses have been very good this year. So we could see yet another low-scoring affair for Milliken Aquinas just because of familiarity.
Well, and on top of that, that Milliken defense has obviously proven itself to be one to watch. I'm definitely excited to see how they do. And I'm excited to see whether or not the Rams Nation shows up for that game. Their team's having such an awesome season to be 2-0, ranked in CIF, ranked number 2 in CIF. Are the fans going to show up and give the kids the crowd that they deserve? Because this is their first week on campus. They go 2-0 before they see any of the other students at Milliken. I hope this week is really a special week for those kids because they've obviously earned it.
They are 2-0 before anybody was even on campus, Mike. The brave new world. Speaking of being back on campus, Lakewood lost their season opener in Florida last week, but they're at home this week playing for the Milk Bucket against crosstown rival Mayfair. Obviously, this game was crazy Lakewood-driven for years, and then they stopped playing it for a while. Derek Bedell has these Mayfair Monsoons back on the map, and they beat Lakewood for the first time since 2006 last year, but the score was only 21-18. And we can all agree that on paper, Mayfair had the more talented team in that game last year as they went on to make their little playoff run. So it's kind of one of those rivalry games where you're like, Mayfair should win this one by a lot, but Lakewood's at home. They're excited to be home after a long trip to Florida, and it could just be a crazy rivalry game.
I'm excited to see what happens in this one. You mentioned it. I mean, regardless of how the teams have looked, you've got to throw those records out the window with the Milk Bucket game. And I'll say this too. Kudos to Lakewood for not ducking the game. Because when Mayfair was not at their best, obviously they stopped playing the game. And so you and I were kind of bummed out about that. That's always a fun one for kids who grew up in Lakewood. It's the biggest game in many ways of the year. It's always been covered. I don't think there's ever been a game that wasn't sort of hyped up. And I thought that sucked that it was like, hey, man, like just because you're not good doesn't mean you should get rid of a cultural facet of your city.
Agreed. Shout out to Derek Bedell. He was instrumental in getting that game back on.
And I think Bedell would, even if their fortunes were reversed, I think Bedell would say, let's keep playing it even if we're getting our butts kicked. But I respect that about Lakewood, that even though in terms of the talent they're getting into the programs, Mayfair is sort of on the rise and Lakewood is kind of in rebuilding mode right now, I really respect that they're still playing it.
Best trophy local teams play for, the Milk Bucket, because the two teams were separated by a giant dairy field back in the day.
It's a perfect trophy because it looks kind of cool. I think it looks cool. It has historical and cultural significance, and it's kind of dumb. It's an easy thing to make fun of, like the kids are playing for the Milk Bucket, but to them it's super important, and that to me is what I think is perfect about it.
You wouldn't think it was dumb if it was the chocolate Milk Bucket. you know that's true.
Yeah, strap me up.
In other home games, Cabrillo's going to be hosting San Pedro, and St. Anthony is going to take on Palm Springs at Clark Field. Meanwhile, Jordan is traveling to Linwood, and Wilson is at Huntington Beach, but like I said, those games, drivable for local fans. Shout out to Avalon as well. Avalon opening up season its eight-man season at home, and that means on Catalina against Desert Christian. Obviously, you know how to follow the local sports coverage, but we're going to tell you anyway. So on Friday night, make sure you are following us on Twitter for all of the score updates. And if you're at a game that we're not at, please mention us, add us, and show us the score.
There is one other football game going on Saturday at Veterans Memorial Stadium. LBCC will be opening its season against Grossmont. That game is at 5 p.m. as the home games for the Vikings will be this year. I'm going to be at that game. I can't wait to see what this year's team looks like. JJ had a great preview that really highlighted the fact that this team, which just keeps winning conference championships and bowl games, has reloaded and looks ready to go for 2018.
Either you're superstitious or you're not. This week on Either Or, we are talking about superstition. I have a new Dodgers hat, Mike. I bought it on Friday. The Dodgers have not lost since I bought this hat.
That's the bluest hat that I've ever seen on you.
Coincidence?
There's no sweat stains? Yes, coincidence.
I don't think so.
So what is it going to be when they lose a game?
I'll have to go buy a new hat. Look, I think, and I don't know who said this, it's obviously a famous quote, but preparation makes luck. Right? The more prepared you are for something, the more you know about poker will make you a better poker player. Sure, there's luck involved. You get the cards, blah, blah, blah. But if you can do the math on poker, you will inevitably be more lucky, right? So I think there's something to that in sports. I grew up playing sports. So I'm too superstitious to be superstitious. Like, I don't think about the wearing the hat or buying the hat or whatever, but like if it's working,
you notice it.
I notice it and yeah. I'm going to keep doing that thing. I think there's a comfort level to superstition. I look back at Nomar Garciaparra's pre-at-bat routine, right? It's kind of superstitious to do the same thing over and over again, but it's also routine.
It's also
comfort level.
Mental preparation.
And if you
yes.
can get yourself in a mindset, that look good, feel good, play good mindset, if you need to wear the same dirty socks every time to make yourself look good, feel good, play good, then do that. If somebody else wants to call that superstition, I feel like that's on them.
Yeah, I definitely believe, I guess I would say I'm not superstitious, I'm a little stitious. I definitely believe in routine. I do the same thing, right? Like if I'm wearing certain socks when the Niners win a game, like I'll wear those socks again the next week. I do wash them, but I'll wear
you
the same socks
You wash the
again
luck right off them, Mike.
but when it comes to, it always surprises me, there are some people who are so serious about the superstition, because you're just you're enjoying the hat. It's
yes.
awesome to have a hat.
It's undefeated.
Winning, right? Yeah. But if I sat you down and I said, JJ, do you think that you buying that hat made something happen in a place that's very far away from you? I know that you're not going to say, Kenley Jansen knew that I was wearing this hat, and that's why he dodged this.
However.
But here's the thing.
However.
But hold on. And even where you might like sort of jokingly favor that, there are people who really do think that, and those people scare the crap out of me.
Do you believe in the power of positive energy? Do you think that playing a game at home has as much to do with home field advantage, quote unquote, because you're actually on the field, you know? And also, there's like 30,000 plus people pulling for you. Do you believe in positive energy filling an arena and making it more likely that the home team wins?
Numerous studies across every sport have shown that being at home tends to get you the middle 10% of calls from officials. Because of the power of human persuasion,
right.
And I absolutely believe in that. I don't believe that everyone thinking yay makes you swing your bat faster.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The best games
even so, if there is something to that, it's physical that you're feeling more positive because of that.
Yes.
And so you're doing something. But that's a change in an athlete that someone being at home sitting on their couch in a certain way is not having.
I was a wildly average athlete, but I can guarantee you my best performances were because the crowd was bigger. Absolutely. It's an energy. You feel the energy. You don't even have to know who's in the crowd to know that there's more eyeballs on you. You feel that, and I do think it affects the way you play, but I will also say that superstition can get in your way, because if you are so superstitious and then a little thing changes
right.
about your situation and you can't adapt, you've already lost.
It's the superstition of Dumbo and the feather. You know what I mean? Like it can be a useful crutch, and particularly for like free throw routines, pre-batting routines, there's a value in having a small physical routine that helps you focus. But to pretend that the feather's making you fly is patently untrue.
Well, as a Dodger fan, I'd love to see an elephant fly.
I was back at one of my favorite places anywhere in the world last night, checking out the Long Beach State women's volleyball team in their home opener in the Pyramid. So nice to be back in the Big Blue Dorito, I've thought of it. The Mid, M-I-D, M-Y-D, however you
M-Y-D,
want to call it.
Mike.
You and I are both M-Y-D guys. We know that.
Absolutely. M-I-D is an actual word.
Long Beach State, obviously, fall season underway. Great start so far for the soccer team. The women's volleyball team did even their record with a win against Seattle. This weekend, they will be in Oregon playing some tough teams, including the Ducks, who are a very strong contender for a national championship this year, in my opinion.
Shout out to Matty Ohms, dude.
Our guy, Matt Ulmer, one of our favorite coaches ever, Erica Dillard, we call her Chid because she's Chid. I don't know. That's just
what we call her.
She's Chid. but yeah, they're doing an awesome job. A ton of Long Beach flavor up there. Tyler and I actually went up and stayed at Chid's house when we were in Eugene for the NCAA track finals. And both she and Matt just marveling at when you go from a mid-major to one of those Power 5 conferences, the difference in everything, in terms of resources, in terms of fundraising. And it's awesome to see people that we knew were great coaches when they were assistants at Long Beach State step onto that national stage and just ball out.
Incredible transition, Mike, because the Long Beach State women's soccer team also going to be taking on Power 5 conferences this week. They are at number 21, Texas, on Thursday, and then they're going to come home and host Auburn on Sunday. Sunday afternoon/evenings with the Long Beach State soccer team at George Allen Field are a joy to experience, so make sure you get out to Long Beach State and listen to the latest episode of the LB Feast Show. Every other week, Mike and I sit down with Long Beach State Athletics Director Andy Fee to literally talk about everything Long Beach State. And this week we played all the hits, talked about parking, the new logo, football at the university. We handled all family business.
It was the holy trinity of annoying conversations to have about Long Beach State sports. But I do think Andy was able to shed some light on what's going on. Maybe in the next episode, we'll talk to him about the new clear bag policy coming. If you are going to a Long Beach State sporting event anytime after September 1st, do keep in mind they are joining the ranks of the USC's and UCLA's and professional teams of the world in that you will not be able to bring in a bag that isn't clear.
If you see something, say something. And it's a lot easier to see something if your bag's clear. Let's get out of here. It's been a big show, but we've still got a little bit of time for the Fam Jam. And Mike, my Fam Jam actually includes you in a weird way. Because Shout out to my wife, Vanessa Fiddler, originally Vanessa Pinn.
Hey.
You will see the name Vanessa Pinn on the credits as a prop assist and a member of the art department for Magic for Humans.
Awesome show.
I'm sure you guys have heard about Magic for Humans. It's on Netflix right now. The invisibility trick on the show has gone viral, and it's just so cool that my wife basically disappeared for 2 weeks, 3 weeks really, to work on this event.
Was she invisible?
She was invisible to me. And to be able to work on it and then to watch it with her, like, I get that when she will watch highlight videos that I do. I'll get to show her these things that I've seen. But to be able to see something that your significant other worked on and just to be so proud of them, to make it look so cool. Like, when you watch that show, it looks cool. And Vanessa and her crew were the reason why it looks cool. I'm also very excited that that's the last time you'll see Vanessa Pinn in the credits.
Oh.
Because from now on,
it's Vanessa Fiddler.
It's Vanessa Fiddler. We're out here making his name famous, Mike.
He locked it down. mine for this week would be my wife started teaching back at Jordan High School this week. It's Wednesday when we're recording this. So this was actually her first day of school. I don't know how you manage, doing all the stuff that she does. She wears a lot of hats at that school and then comes home and is obviously a great wife and a great mom to our two kids. So salute to that. Salute to everybody out there in Long Beach who's on their 10 full-time job grind as we start the school year.
No doubt. Not a lot of signing. Got to be doing a lot of grinding. That's what we're going to be doing this week, covering local sports for you. As always, Long Beach State action. And the high school football has just been blowing up on our website right now, Mike. I mean, people just love these highlight videos. Like 20,000 views last weekend in the first few days of that coverage. So please continue to do that. Get to the 562.org. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, September is our membership drive month. We're going to be giving things away. So get yourself in the running to be involved at the 562.org. Just absolutely obliterate that subscribe button at the top of the website. So for Mike, for JJ, for everybody else involved at the 562.org, these podcasts and LB Post, we will see you guys in the stands this weekend. Take care, Long Beach.
There's a lot of hats. That's all I'm saying.